Will you pray with me? May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here, and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have ever read Graham Greene's The Power and the Glory, you remember the whiskey priest. Never known by any other name, he stumbles for 300-some pages through southern Mexico during one of their anti-Catholic purges. Hunted, frustrated, angry, afraid, and often drunk. In all his fear, anger, and drunkenness, he still secretly hears confessions, furtively celebrates the Eucharist, baptizes children in kitchen sinks and under water spouts, and has to watch a trio of local lowlives, including the police chief, drink up a bottle of wine that he had bought with his last pesos for sacramental purposes. With an ambitious lieutenant never far off his trail, he has several chances to escape across the border, but they are all foiled by the never-ending requests for his pastoral duties. Finally, he is betrayed, captured, and summarily condemned to die. The last night of his life he spends in prison, and it passes slower than the ones before, because this time he is alone. When he woke up, it was dawn. He woke with a huge feeling of hope, which suddenly and completely left him at the first sight of the prison yard. It was the morning of his death. He crouched on the floor with the empty brandy flask in his hand, trying to remember the act of contrition. O God, I am sorry and beg pardon for all my sins, crucified, worthy of your dreadful punishments. He was confused. It was not the good death for which one always prayed. He caught sight of his own shadow on the cell wall. What a fool he had been to think that he was strong enough to stay when others fled. What an impossible fellow I am, he thought, and how useless. I have done nothing for anybody. I might just as well never have lived. His parents were dead. Soon he wouldn't even be a memory. Perhaps, after all, he was not at the moment afraid of damnation, not even of pain. He only felt that immense disappointment because he had to go to God empty-handed, with nothing done at all. It seemed to him at that moment it would have been quite easy to be a saint. It would only have needed a little self-restraint and a little bit of courage. He felt like someone who had missed happiness by seconds at an appointed place. He knew that at the end, there was only one thing that counted, which was to be a saint. To be a saint and not to have to go to God empty-handed as a broken man who again and again violated his vows and yet had never been able to forget the promises he once had made before God and the people. To be a saint coming before God with purity of motives and accomplishments. In the mind of the whiskey priest, on that last morning of his life, that was all that counted, and he had failed. In spite of his impending sacrifice, a reluctant sacrifice to be sure, but nevertheless the sacrifice of his life, exactly because he had refused to save himself, he still was going to God empty-handed, with nothing to show forth at all. This moment, biblically speaking, was his Calvary, the ultimate abandonment of all hopes and dreams and plans that he might have had for his life. His Calvary and his surrender, realizing that he would have to throw himself into the arms of God's mercy and ask for forgiveness and healing there. Instead of bringing bargaining chips to the table, he would come empty-handed. Instead of showing forth accomplishments, he would have to seek mercy. And his future would lie in God's hands and not his own. This is the first night in the season of Lent. The season in which we remember that no matter how accomplished, how humble, how successful, how pious we are, we come like the whiskey priest into God's presence empty-handed. Empty-handed in spite of our giving of time and money, empty-handed in spite of our food collection to Boulder's Harvest of Hope Pantry, empty-handed in spite of the beautiful quilts that we send into the world, empty-handed in spite of our ministry partners and their offerings and our care for those hurting in our community. Even if we gave our life in serving others in the name of God, into God's presence, we still come empty-handed. And like the whiskey priest, we come as a broken people, broken by what life or others do to us, and also what we do to them. Broken by our refusal to act on the things we consider important, and broken by the carelessness with which we approach our days. Broken by our need for power and for our dominance in relationships. Broken by the way we use and abuse nature and natural resources. Day by day, we break others and others break us. And we live in a broken and hurting world that we ourselves have created and continue to create. And last but certainly not least, we come into God's presence with plenty of self-deception, with outward deeds of loving kindness that nevertheless bear the marks of our ulterior motives, with indulgence masking our anger, frenzied activity masking our sloth, excess masking our emptiness, and entertainment our need. We come before God with muddled intentions and questionable motives, all in our vain attempt to look good before God, the world, and ourselves. Just that God isn't buying it. And deep down, you and I, we all know that. Now, trust me, I don't like this any better than you do. I just know that it is true. It is true in my life, and on occasions, it just needs to be said out loud and not shrugged off, not swept under a rug. But said out loud. Susan Briel calls Ash Wednesday the most honest day in the church year. And I have to agree. We are a broken people, full of self-deception, and we are standing before God empty-handed. There you have it. That's the truth. And yet, the truth of our lives is still bigger than that. Because regardless of how self-deceived, broken, and empty-handed we are also created in the image of God. And each and every one of us carries that divine spark in us that ever so often perks up and reminds us that we are on the wrong path, that we need a course correction, that we need to turn around, and that it's time, urgent time, to do so now. This is the invitation to Lent. Renounce everything that covers up that divine spark in you. Let go of all the things that dim its glow. Ignore everything that drowns out its call to you. Sweep your life clean to hear God again. On the mountain, on the road, in your kitchen, and amazingly enough, occasionally even on the golf course. God is still speaking. In the earthquake, in the thunder, in the cloud, and in the still small voice. And in the ashes of our lives, and in the oil of healing, in bread and in wine, and in fasting and weeping, God simply wants our lives. Nothing more and nothing less than our lives. That we are remolded in God's image. That our empty hands be filled and our brokenness mended and the purity of our hearts restored. And when you start with sackcloth and ashes, as we do tonight, something like Easter might just be our surprise at the end. Amen.